Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's something you'd like to talk about, this is a good opportunity to pose your Bible questions or your particular topic of interest. 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Our theme this month is justification. We started off yesterday, I thought, with a marvelous broadcast how this truth about justification can really spell itself out in our day-to-day lives. As Craig called us and talked about the fact that he's been set free from a habit of pornography and that sort of thing. Just one of those powerful stories, and we were so grateful to hear that yesterday and to be a part of what God is doing in that young man's life to really put him down the path of righteousness. Mm-hmm. And so today we're going to read in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. This is one of those signature verses in the Bible. It's just an incredible deal, and really the rest of the book of Romans is a commentary on these two verses. And Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." So our word is justification, and that word simply means to be declared righteous. There's a legal declaration that God declares as far as we're concerned, that we are now declared righteous based on the finished work of Jesus Christ. So we've been justified. And that righteousness is a righteousness that is given to us by faith from the first to the last. That's not a righteousness that we can earn through our own merit. No one will be declared righteous through obedience to the law. That's just an impossible reality. It just cannot happen that way. So if we're going to be declared righteous, it has to come from God. He has to declare us so, and he does it based on the finished work of Jesus Christ. So in this gospel, what is the gospel? It's the death, it's the burial, it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the ascension of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. So within that gospel story, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus Christ, a righteousness, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Let's talk about it on today's broadcast.
Let's do that, and you can do that right now at 844-322-2742. As I said at the outset, good in the U.S. and in Canada. The lines are wide open right now, so we await your call. And again, that phone number, 844-322-2742. In the meantime, guys, a question from an anonymous writer in Grand Blanc, Michigan. He says, "I am in so much pain. My daughter moved in with her boyfriend. My son is dealing with the court system. My brother is living with me. He has a heart condition, which he will need 24-hour care for, which I can't afford to take off from work. I am so overwhelmed at work. What is ironic is that I'm a Sunday school teacher, and I teach Bible study at work. I know the scriptures. I quote them all the time. But this time, I cannot seem to pull myself up. My daughter living in sin was the last straw. I know I need to wait on God, but I've lost all hope. Right now, I feel so ashamed for writing this to you because I should know what to do, but I just cannot find the strength."
Well, how are we supposed to know what to do in situations like that? I mean, what a dad would like to see happen is that he could sit down with his daughter, he could give her some wise counsel, she would actually listen to him, and then choose to move away from that boyfriend. That's what a dad would hope would happen. But we can't control those outcomes. We can't control those results. And so a lot of times the stress and the negative feelings that we have, that sense of hopelessness, comes because we aren't seeing the result we want to happen. Everything that we do isn't producing the right result. And so we beat ourselves up. We get down. It's like, Lord, I'm trying everything I know to do to, you know, to keep my daughter from moving in, but now she's moved in, and now I'm doing everything in my power to get her to move out, and so she's no longer living in sin and that sort of thing. And I'm just frustrated. I can't make it work. And then these other situations that are poured on top of that one. And so we get so stressed out because we can't control an outcome. And what the Bible tells us to do is to sit back and trust the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean inactivity or being passive. It means to put the results in God's hands, because he's the only one that can work this situation together for good. This situation is too big for our human understanding. It's too big for us to figure out through human wisdom. We have to trust in the promise of God. And the promise of God is that he will cause all things to work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So cast your cares upon the Lord.
We need to take the I out of the equation and say the him.
I think you're exactly right. That is good. That is good insight, Mr. Davis. We're trying to figure out what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Well, what is Jesus doing? What has he promised to do? And are you willing to trust him with this particular situation? I know in my life, whenever I try to control outcomes, when I try to produce a particular result and do everything I know to do to bring that about, man, I just get sick inside. Yeah. I mean, the stress just mounts in quantity. Just the feelings of hopelessness and despair start to grow inside. And you eventually have to come to a point and say, Lord, you know, I'm trying to tackle this on my own, and I can't do it. I have to cast this care upon you. And that's exactly what God wants us to do, to cast all of our cares upon him. And the reason we can is because he cares for us. And one thing we have to realize, and for this gentleman in this particular situation, God actually loves his daughter more than he does.
Yeah.
And God is more interested in her circumstance than he is. And sometimes we don't buy that. We think, God, I know you care for things and you're interested and you're God and all of that stuff, but this is my daughter and I love her a lot more than you do. And you have to come back and say, no, that's not true. God loves her so much more. Why? Because God sent Jesus to die for her sins. God sent Jesus to be raised to life so that she could walk in the newness of life. So I have to count on the fact that God actually does love her more than I do. And if I can grab hold of that, then I can relax a little bit, and I know that he's going to have her best interest at heart.
We're glad to hear from those of you who drop us an email to pose your question or your particular situation. And for the gentleman who wrote this, we hope you're listening. Hope this is a help to you. And if we can help further, don't hesitate to get in contact with us. And friends, you can pose your question as well by addressing us at bob@basicgospel.net. bob@basicgospel.net. Right now, plenty of open lines. Calls beginning to come in, but still plenty of room for you, plenty of time. 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk to Caesar, listening to us on WMCA. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hi. God bless you guys. How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Sounds like we caught you right in the middle of a yawn, Caesar.
No, I was a little busy at work, and I was a little tired now and getting to the end of the day, you know?
How can we help you today?
Actually, I was just calling, and I wanted to say something. I was talking with the Lord, and I feel like he told me, revealed something to me. Because I said, Lord, I know we're saved by grace through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and our works is as filthy rags. But it's like I said before, we're not saved by good works, but saved for good works. And the Lord told me something, and he told me this. He said, because I said, Lord, I know that there's a change, because the Bible also says you'll know them by their fruits. And he told me this, guys. He says, look at the president's children. How are they supposed to carry themselves in front of people because they're carrying that name? Look at the Queen of England's children. How are they supposed to carry themselves because they carry that name? And the Lord told me, you carry the name above all names. And I am the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. So even more, we should carry ourselves in such a manner that we're serving the King of Kings, knowing that we're walking as children of the Most High, knowing that we're walking as sons of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I said, that's so true. You know, I never looked at it that way, but that is so true, because we're representing a heavenly kingdom, and we are a priest, you know, chosen by the Lord, predestined, and we are to represent them at the best of our ability, because there is people that are watching, and we can be a stumbling block to many people.
Well,
and
Caesar,
the Lord doesn't want that. Yeah.
Well,
doesn't want that at all.
I appreciate your call and your comments, and you know, we are children of God. And that's an astounding and astonishing truth, and very few of us really think through the ramifications of what it means to be a child of God. We also, as children of God, are indwelt by the Spirit of God. And so our life to walk worthy of the calling that we have received, which is a recurring theme in the New Testament, in all of the books of the New Testament, Paul encourages us to walk worthy of the calling that we've received. James and John and Peter and all of the apostles are in unison around that theme. The question is how do we bring that about? And it can't be through human effort.
It's walking in the Spirit.
It's allowing the Spirit of God to do in and through us what only the Spirit of God can do, and that's to enable us to live as children of God in this world of darkness.
Amen.
So it's his power in us that sets us apart from the world, and we're going to talk about sanctification next month, and that's what that word means, to be set apart. And it's through the power of God's Spirit that we experience that set apart life, where we can actually live out up to the calling that we have received. So it's not about human effort. It's not about, you know, all the things that I bring to the table. It's about me abiding, trusting, walking by faith in the risen Christ, and allowing that faith to be expressed in love to others. That's what the set apart life looks like, and that's what it means to live as a child of God.
Yes, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but I just wanted to say one thing. The way we walk in the Spirit is by, first of all, being in the Word of God, because that is where the power of the Lord is. Then we continue to abide in the Lord. We stay in prayer and communion with the Lord. And we fast to beat our body till it's black and blue.
Hey, Caesar, you're going down a wrong path. You are putting on ideas of what you think it means to walk in the Spirit. The Pharisees prayed. The Pharisees were in the Word of God, and boy, they were chastised by the Lord Jesus. So it's not the activity. It's the motivation of the heart. And the heart is where God's Spirit does his work. I want to get into the Word of God and read it, because I know I'm going to find the love of God on those pages. And I'm going to be able to grow in the love of God. And as I grow in my understanding of the love of God, then I'm going to see that love being lived out in me. So that's what we need to look on, is the work of God's Spirit in transforming us from the inside out. Well, Caesar, we appreciate your call. Thanks for your good comments.
Yes, indeed. And we have plenty of open lines for you right now, friends, at 844-322-2742. Plenty of time on the clock. We'd love to hear from you, 844-322-2742. A couple of questions for you, friends. Do you struggle to receive what God has already freely given you? How can you begin to understand true freedom, assurance of your forgiveness and victory over sin? How can the power that raised Jesus from the dead enable you to live and love the way that Jesus did? Well, Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, shows that everything you're trying to achieve in the Christian life has already been given to you from God by grace in Jesus Christ. We say that's basic gospel, and we think that's good news. And as our thanks for your gift of $20 or more this month, we're going to send you Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, along with the study guide. To make your gift, simply click donate on any page at basicgospel.net or phone and speak with our operator during Central Time office hours at 844-412-2742. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-412-2742. And by the way, we also accept donations through PayPal. Currently, this is the best way for those of you outside the U.S. to support Basic Gospel, and we hope you'll take the opportunity to do just exactly that.
Well, thanks, Bob. We certainly appreciate that. I want to get back to what we talked about at the top of the program, the fact that we are justified by faith, declared righteous by faith. That's the story of the gospel. It reveals to us the righteousness of God that is received by faith. And it goes on to say the just or the righteous will live by faith. This is an Old Testament passage out of Habakkuk. And it's repeated three times in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, the book of Galatians, and the book of Hebrews. And so the emphasis in the book of Romans is on the word righteous, the righteous. And so Paul is going to unpack what it means to be made righteous, to be justified. The emphasis in the book of Galatians is on the living it out. How is it lived out in day-to-day life? The emphasis in the book of Hebrews is on faith. So we have a definition of faith in the book of Hebrews. But here's the interesting thing about righteousness and being justified. Many people have heard or have been given this little cutesy, pithy statement. It's just as if we'd never sinned. And you know, there's partial truth to that, but this word is so much bigger than that little statement. Jesus died. And he died for my sin, he died for your sin, he died for the sins of the world. And so there was punishment. So God is just in punishing Jesus for our sins. So we see justice there. And we see a burial, we see a death, we see a burial. And we see a resurrection. And so in the resurrected life of Jesus, he's saying that all sin has already been accomplished. All punishment has already been meted out. And now he's been raised. And he's been raised so that we can be raised to walk in the newness of life. So when I'm raised to walk in the newness of life, when I'm justified, declared righteous, which is what this gospel does, it means my sins have been dealt with. It's not just as if I'd never sinned. The fact is I did sin, and justice was handled. Those sins were treated justly. Yes. They weren't just winked at or swept under a carpet. God dealt with them in Jesus. And because I've been declared righteous, I can say that all of my sins have already been dealt with. Every single one of them. Justice has been served. I'm not walking away as somebody's just letting me off scot-free. They were dealt with. Jesus just happened to deal with them. And now I've been raised to walk in the newness of life. I've been declared righteous because of the finished work of Jesus. And I've been made righteous internally because of the work of Christ through the Holy Spirit. That's what this is all about. And so the righteous, that's who I am. What's my new way of life? It's to live by faith. That's the calling that I have upon me, to walk by faith in Jesus. That's the new way of life. And when I walk by faith, righteousness is being exercised through me. That's what righteous living is walking by faith in Jesus. I was declared righteous by the finished work of Christ. Now I live righteously by trusting in the resurrected Christ who lives in and through me. That's what this story is all about. Well, let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk to Mary Jo, listening to us on WFIA. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. I just have a comment. I shared the Lord with the girl for a couple of minutes, and I told her about your program. But I keep forgetting to say you want an NIV or an up-to-date Bible. Shouldn't we be saying that, letting people know just in case? I had a King James, and I couldn't understand it. Then one day somebody gave me an NIV, and the lights just sort of came on a little bit better. It helped.
Well, it does help, and you know, there's a lot of different versions out there, translations out there. We're a blessed people to have the choices that we have concerning Bible translations, and I always encourage people to get one that they're comfortable with. If that's the NIV, that's a good thing. If it's the New Living Translation, I read out of that quite a bit. I'd say do that. If it's the ESV, I read quite a bit out of that, do a lot of study out of the ESV translation. I really like that one. Encourage people to go and find a Bible that they would be comfortable in reading. And there's many good translations out there. There's many good choices. So if you found one that you're pleased with, that you enjoy, don't hesitate to pass that information on to those that you're speaking with.
Yeah, well, I imagine there's some people like that got a King James Version and thought that was just the only type of Bible there was, and I'm hoping that you all will start passing that on.
Well, Mary Jo, thank
you.
Yeah, I sure do. Well, thanks for the call, and certainly we've recommended Bibles in the past, and we'll do a better job of that moving forward, okay?
Thanks, Mary Jo.
Well, thank you.
Hey, thanks for your call. Let's go quickly to Texas to Grace, listening to us on The Word. Hi, Grace.
Hi, how are you, Bob? How are you, Bob?
Hello there.
Hi.
Welcome.
Okay. the situation that I'm having is my daughter is involved in a cult, and it's Worldwide Mission Church of God, and it's out of Korea. Now, they believe that this Hong Song Tong guy is now Jesus Christ, and they believe that Mother God is the mother, and I don't know. It's all mixed up, and I don't know what to say or do. I mean, I've taken y'all's classes. I've been out there, and I've tried to approach her with it, and I just get shut off every time. And now they're getting so involved in it that they're actually working in that congregation, and it's building, it's growing, and I don't know what to do.
Well, Grace,
you know, they're getting so involved in it.
Grace, continue to pray. Continue to pray for them, that their eyes would be open to truth. Continue to send information to them, because this really is a battle between truth and error. They are being deceived. They are being sucked into that vortex of error. There's probably a lot of techniques that this group is using to dull their mind, to veil their eyes to what truth really is. So you keep injecting truth as much as you can. Send them pamphlets, send them books, send them all sorts of things. Just send them everything that you can on Jesus, and keep bringing them back to who Jesus is. If you believe this guy is Jesus, what do you say about the Jesus that was with us 2,000 years ago, that actually died on a cross, that was actually buried, that was actually raised back to life? Keep doing that, and praying that others can maybe intersect their path and give them truth as well. You hang on, Grace. We'll get some more information from you, okay?
Thanks for being with us, everybody. We're out of time for today. So now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and the Basic Gospel Ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow. Hope you'll join us too. Bye-bye.